Never lose an opportunity to see anything beautiful. Beauty is God's handwriting. Aubrey Park Mansion, set in the beautiful Tinningbourne Valley. There has been a house on this site since 1042, same year as the Saxon church which stands adjacent. At that time, during the reign of Edward the Confessor, the house was owned by one Azor, a Saxon nobleman, who was a cousin of Earl Godwin, hence a member of the Saxon royal family. He also owned estates in Dorset and Northamptonshire. At the time of the conquest, Aubrey Estate was given to a Robert de Tonbridge, a member of the great de Clare family. During the medieval period, the house was owned for five generations by the D'Abelon family, who had their main seat at Cobham, and Aubrey was leased out to tenants during most of their ownership. After that, the Duncombe family also owned the estate for about 200 years. And it was the Duncombes who gave a lease in 1637 to Thomas Howard, Earl of Arundel and Surrey. Thomas was the grandson of Henry, 4th Duke of Norfolk, who was beheaded in the Tower because of his association with Mary, Queen of Scots. Paul Rubens described him as the father of virtue in England. He had a collection of over 700 pictures, while his antique marbles, gems, prints and drawings were unequalled. As a connoisseur, he was of European stature, a rival to Italian cardinals and Spanish courtiers. It was Thomas who was responsible for the first alterations to the old medieval house, and he built a new wing for his retainers. His grandson, who became 6th Duke of Norfolk, was also a very princely gentleman. And he made extensive alterations, having rebuilt the medieval house, using as architect Captain George Evelyn, cousin of the famous John Evelyn, landscape gardener, who redesigned the gardens on the Italian pattern for the 6th Duke. Henry the 6th Duke was ambassador in Vienna and Constantinople during the 1670s, and his brother Philip became Cardinal of Norfolk. He married twice. His first wife was a noblewoman, Anne Somerset, daughter of the Earl of Worcester. On her death, he married Anne Bickerton, who had been his mistress, and the daughter of the winekeeper to Charles II. All these considerable alterations to the house during the ownership of the Howard family were mainly destroyed in 1697 when there was a major fire, and the only parts left from that period are the present library and the drawing room next door. On the death of the sixth Duke, his son, the seventh Duke, sold the house after 2 years to Heneage Finch, a solicitor general to King Charles II, and eventually Lord Chancellor. He was known by the soubriquet of Silver Tongue, and he was involved in two very famous legal cases. The Act of Seclusion of 1684 and the Trial of the Seven Bishops in 1688. The Finch family retained Albury until the end of the 18th century. During that time, there were four Earls of Aylesford, but the fourth Earl sold the estate to his brother, Admiral Finch, in 1780. And he, in 1800, sold the house to a Samuel Thornton. Samuel Thornton was governor of the Bank of England. And at that particular time, when he acquired the estate, he had Sir John Soane rebuilding the Bank of England building in Threadneedle Street. And Thornton asked John Soane to come down to Albury, his country estate, to make various alterations. And he was responsible for the new staircase and drawing room. After Samuel Thornton, for a period of 7 years, the house belonged to a Charles Wall, who sold it in 1819 to Henry Drummond. And the Drummonds retained the house until 1890. Now the Drummonds of Drummond's Bank, which is now the Royal Bank of Scotland, are well known as wealthy bankers, but their story is not that simple. They were Scottish noblemen with the titles of Earl of Perth and Viscount Strathallan. But they were Jacobites, supporters of the House of Stuart. And at the Battle of Culloden in 1746, Viscount Strathallan was killed. And his younger son, Andrew, came down south and formed the banking house. It was his great nephew, Henry Drummond, who was also a partner in the bank, who was looking for a new estate, that bought Albury in 1819. Henry Drummond had three sons and two daughters. The three sons died between the ages 17 and 21. So that left Louisa, the eldest daughter, who married a Lord Lavaine in 1845, who eventually became the sixth Duke of Northumberland. And that is how the Percys acquired the estate through marriage, which they still retain to this day, with the exception of the mansion and 7 acres of gardens, which were sold in 1969 to the Country Houses Association. And it is now used as a residence for retired professional people. In fact, there are 45 apartments and approximately 50 to 60 residents. Albury Park Mansion. Externally, is the creation of Augustus Welby Northmore Pugin, the famous Victorian architect, when he worked for the then owner Henry Drummond between the years 1848 and 1852. All that you see around the courtyard are the creation of that particular time. The former coach house is now used as residences, and also the porter's lodge. Looking closer at the building, we see the cartouche on top of the roof. This represents the coat of arms of the Drummonds and the Percys, the last two owners of the house, topped by a ducal crown. The arms of Drummond represent in two quarters the arms of Scotland, the Royal Arms of Scotland, and the other two quarters what appears to be wavy lines, which represents the sea. This is part of the Drummond legend, that the first Drummond was a gentleman called Maurice of Hungary, who crossed the sea with St. Margaret of Scotland. Hence the wavy lines. Here we have represented part of the building structure, which is the brickwork and the ironstone taken from the local hill. Surrounded by small sections of ironstone in what is known as galloting. And in the entrance to the gardens of the house, we have the iron gates that were put there in 1850 by Henry Drummond, and they were brought over from a convent in Hungary. Entering the hallway of the house, this room is 100% Augustus Pugin, and very typical of his style of work. The panelling and the ceiling, doorways, even to the wallpaper, which isn't actually a Pugin wallpaper, but is contemporary with when the new hall was built in 1852. The wooden panel over mantel over the fireplace is much older than the room, as this was brought down from Scotland by the Drummonds from their original home in Perthshire. And the carving in high relief represents trophies of war from the Roman times up till the late 17th century. It was carved by a Dutchman called Jan van Sandvoort, who also worked at Holyrood House. Passing from the hall into the staircase, this particular staircase was put in by Pugin when he was making the extensive alterations in the mid-19th century, and this is the only staircase that goes the full height of the house up to the tower on top. And it's very similar to the staircase in his own home, the Grange in Ramsgate. We now pass into the inner hall, where you see there is a cantilever staircase put in by Sir John Soane in 1800. At that time, the house was owned by Samuel Thornton, Governor of the Bank of England, and John Soane was working on the new bank building, which is now the oldest part, for Samuel Thornton. John Soane remodeled the exterior of the house, giving it the appearance of a severe Palladian house, square in form with pilasters as the only decoration. As well as installing the new staircase, he also remodeled the great room into a library and also created a new drawing room. These rooms we will see later. The library was originally known as the Great Room, and it's the room that was used for functions, banquets and balls, the coronation ball for George II took place in this room in 1762. The paintings in the room are two of the school of Van Dyck, that is the Charles I, two paintings of the school of Van Dyck, Charles I and his wife Henrietta Maria. The originals of these paintings are in the Duke of Grafton's house, Euston Hall, in Suffolk. The other painting is of Frederick, Prince of Wales, eldest son of George II and father of the future George III. He was known as Poor Fred because of the fact that he died at the age of 32 as a result of playing tennis. Not lawn tennis as we know it, but real tennis, and he received a hit on the side of his head and died as a consequence of that. The fireplace is the original fireplace put in the room when it was created in 1673. And the designer of this room, the library, was Captain George Evelyn, who was a relative of John Evelyn, the famous landscape gardener who designed the garden seen from the library. Later on, when John Soane was working on the house, he was asked to convert the great room into a new library. So he installed bookcases all around the room, of which we only have one section left because the other ones were removed to Zion House when the Duke of Northumberland sold the house. We are now in the John Soane drawing room. This was created by Sir John Soane in 1800 when he was making the alterations on behalf of Samuel Thornton. The predominant colour is yellow. This is known as Soane yellow. He favoured this colour very much, particularly in rooms facing east, because when the sunlight floods in the early morning, it's a blaze of gold. The pier glasses on either side of the windows came originally from Northumberland House, the townhouse of the Percy family, which was demolished in 1874 to make way for Northumberland Avenue following the construction of the Thames embankment. There are several other features in the mansion that came from Northumberland House. The chandelier is a very fine Waterford chandelier. The fireplace, designed by John Soane, was carved by John Flaxman and has many interesting details. The French Second Empire clock was handmade in Paris in 1853 and represents the Empress Eugenie and the Emperor Napoleon III, and was handmade as a souvenir of their wedding. The large portrait of the lady in blue is of Lady Marchbanks. Her second wedding was to Mr. Hogg, and their son, Quintin, is the present Lord Hailsham. The copy of Sir Peter Lely's portrait of Charlotte Fitzroy, natural daughter of Charles II, she married a gentleman called Mr. Bright. But this didn't suit the king, that his favourite daughter should be known as Mrs. Bright. So the king created her husband, Earl of Lichfield. No relations to the present Litchfield family, which were a later creation, and are of the Anson family. The modern portrait of the lady of strong character is of a Victoria Chapel. She was fashion editor for the Daily Mail, both in London and in Paris. And she was the first woman war correspondent to go into Paris and Brussels when those cities were liberated at the end of the Second Great War. Victoria Chapel was arranging to become a resident at Albury Park in 1980. Unfortunately, she died before she moved to the house, but the family wanted some of her possessions to be kept at Albury, and certain items of furniture, plus this picture, are now in the house. During the time that Augustus Pugin was working on the house, he was asked by Henry Drummond to cover in the central courtyard and to create for him a billiard room. At a later date, this room was converted into a music room by one of the duchesses. Here you see the room in an old photograph when it was used as a billiard room. Since 1971, this has been the dining room for the residents of the house. In this next picture, which is taken from an old postcard of about 40 years ago, you see the dining room, the original dining room, laid out for a meal during the time of the residence of the Duke. The corridor we're looking at now is known as the Pugin Corridor because this is 100% his work. When he was asked to cover over the central courtyard, as already mentioned, he had to enclose the original entrance to the courtyard, so he created this link corridor. It's very typical of his style of work and includes many Gothic arches and also the type of mock beams on the ceiling that he rather refavoured, and recessed medieval style windows all over the house. There are Gothic arches, as you can see here. This is in the public telephone box. We are now on the east side of the house, facing towards Shear. You have here the work of two Victorian architects. On the left, a small section of John Hakewell's work, which was undertaken for the sixth Duke in 1869. On the right, you have Augustus Pugin's work. In the construction of this side of the house, you see the mixture of brickwork and ironstone, and also let into the brickwork. In Gothic writing is the quotation from the 127th Psalm, "Unless the Lord build the house, their labour is but in vain that build it." This was Pugin's idea, with the agreement of the then owner to incorporate this into the wall. Up on the pinnacles, you can see the figures of griffins or wyverns, mythical beasts that were much favoured by Pugin as well, particularly on his ecclesiastical buildings. This view shows the house seen from the south bank during the spring, when there's a glorious display of rhododendrons and azaleas. Finally, we have a view taken from the hill, looking directly down onto the house, showing the famous 63 chimneys designed by Pugin. They are not original designs, they are copies from Hampton Court, Burley House, Hatfield House, but are all different. What is a house, if not a temple too, where the aspiring soul may seek repose in its long pilgrimage through the vast universe?